Good morning. I greet you in Jesus' name. Is this working, Skylar? Is it working? No? Okay. Before I get into my message, I just want to make a couple comments that I wasn't planning on making, but thank you, Brother Tom, for your encouragement. And I just want to say, I did intend to say this, so I'll say that first. I'm blessed to see how you have gotten through your constitution, and now you're doing your covenant. It blesses me. Sam sent me the documents. He said, I was down for a meeting last night, and I told them, and I'm telling you, I'm blessed when I look at that. But what I want to say on top of that is I sat here this morning and I was blessed. And Sam, you said in Sunday school, there are those times when you just have to say, thank you, Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there was a time for me this morning that I sat here and I had to say, thank you, Jesus. For what I see here compared to the journey that you were on. No, the journey's not over. And it's not by Jason's gifts, not by Jason's ability, that I say that this morning. I'm simply a channel. And anything I have done or will do is by the grace and wisdom of God. It's not in me, brothers and sisters. It's not in me other than to do what God has called me to do and what he empowers me to do by his Spirit. So, again, thank you for your support. Thank you for your encouragement. But most of all, blessings to you as you continue to walk and form and meld and become the bride of Christ. Part of the bride of Christ, but the bride of Christ here in this particular body. Blessings to you as you do that. Thank you, Brother Calvin and Brother Rob, for tying the service together, along with some of my thoughts that you share. Brother Rob, especially for the songs you chose, you captured my thoughts. Into your choice of songs, just from the title. The title of my message, which you already know, is Walking in Light or Darkness. We'll primarily look at John. I will pull things from Luke as well, just to bring a broader perspective of the story. But today is Palm Sunday. It is. We think of it as a day of triumph, a day of Jesus being exalted and coming to Jerusalem as a victor. That was Monday, a few days later, and you talked about this in your Sunday school lesson. He stood before another crowd that said, away with him, crucify him, crucify him. And I'll return to that a little later in my message. So, while Palm Sunday is a day of victory and exaltation, it was very short-lived. Very, very short-lived. You know why? Because the crowd was walking in darkness. That's why. They were walking in darkness, not in light. Hence, it was short-lived. It was really just a crowd mentality. I'm going to tell you a little story here in the beginning. There's a legend from Spain. There was an ancient village that a king had not visited in 1,000 years. And he sent a proclamation saying, in so many weeks, I'm going to be in your village for a visit. And the villagers were delighted. King hadn't been here in their lifetime. So They said, what can we do to honor the king? Now, this village was a very poor village. And someone came up with the idea of, well, we don't really have much to give him, but we're noted for being able to make some of the best wine that there is. So what we'll do is we'll get this big vat, and every one of us will bring a cup of our best wine, we'll pour it in the vat, and when the king comes, we'll give him this silver chalice, and he can draw out of the vat, and he'll be blessed because he'll have our combined best wine that there is. And this will really bless him. So the day before the king showed up, every villager came with a cup or a container, and they climbed up the little ladder, dumped their wine in the vat. Eventually, everybody had dumped it in. The vat was full. The next day, the king came. Everybody gathered together. Big time of celebration. Everything is great. Finally, the time came for the king to draw the wine from the vat. They gave him the silver chalice. He went, walked up to the vat, opened the spigot, filled the cup, and tasted it. And it was nothing but water. The king was greatly dishonored. We'll come back to that story later on in the message. This coming week, we know as a Passion Week, which someone already said that, and we can't possibly touch on all that happened in this culminating week of Jesus' ministry. This was a final week. And he said much, he did much. We already talked about that he overturned the tables of the money changers, cleared the temple. But I'd like to focus for the next couple of minutes on today, Palm Sunday. It starts, though, if you turn with me in John to chapter 12. It starts on the Sabbath, Saturday. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat with him at the table. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor ye always have with you, but me ye have not always. A couple quick points out of this. Jesus is again in Mary and Martha's house. Martha's again serving, and Mary is again honoring the Lord. And what I want you to notice is simply this, that Mary, being Mary, took this pint of nard, or spikenard, it says in King James, but I think the other translations would say nard, which was basically a perfume that was expensive, which Judas points that out. And she poured it on Jesus' feet. Now, typically they would anoint bodies at burial, which we know the women did for Jesus. But she poured it on his feet and then wiped them with her hair. This is the second time that this has been done to Jesus, not the same person, not the same woman. But the point I want you to take away from this is Mary knew who Jesus was. Mary was walking in the light. She didn't know it for sure yet, because things were going to radically change. But what Mary did know for sure is that she loved and worshiped Jesus. Just a cultural thing, which we can identify with as conservatives. It would have been improper for her to let her hair down and wipe his feet with that in public setting like this. Their women would have, as you see, had their hair wrapped undercover. But the point I'm trying to make in all that is Mary didn't really care. She cared about Jesus. She really cared. Did she know she was anointing him for his burial? I don't know. Maybe. I doubt it. But Jesus points out that she did this while I was yet alive for my burial, which, if she didn't know, was only a few days away. We have this cliche saying, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, giving the roses while someone lives. That's what Mary did. She gave Jesus the roses while he lived. She left him know that he was her Lord. He was her master. She adored and worshiped him. Now I'm going to jump quickly forward without making much comment on the others. I'm not sure if it was commented in Sunday school or if you commented on it, Calvin. But they wanted to kill Lazarus. I think you commented on Calvin. They wanted to kill Lazarus along with Jesus because the people were coming to see what had happened. They wanted to see this man that could raise the dead. Okay? And so this crowd formed. This is now the following morning. The crowd formed to see Jesus, who could raise the dead, not because he was Christ, but because he could raise the dead. So you have this big crowd, and we all know it was the Passover. So there was crowds thronging to Jerusalem for the Passover. And when the people at Jerusalem found out, which is approximately, give or take, 2 miles away from Bethany, that Jesus is at Bethany and he's coming to Jerusalem, they started coming to meet him. And the crowd that was at Bethany to celebrate this man that could raise Lazarus, they were going with Jesus to Jerusalem. This is Monday, the day after his feet were anointed. Much people of the Jews, verse 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were coming to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." I'm going to stop there. I already commented on that they came from both directions. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. That is who Jesus was. The crowd was shouting it. Probably some of the same people that a few days or later were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." But today he was a king. He was a Lord. Did you ever wonder why? Why the switch? And I'm going to leave that hang open. I proposed to you one of the things that was that. And to show you that, I'm going to refer to what's not in John, but you heard it twice this morning, about this donkey, this colt that he's going to ride in on. Jesus many times walked more than 2 miles. He did not need to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey because it was far. He didn't. It's 2 miles away. I propose to you that the donkey was needed to fulfill Zechariah 9:9. This is what Zechariah 9:9 says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, the very next verse says this, and these people knew it. The people, the Jewish people, know what the next verse says. It says this, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Brothers and sisters, the reason they were shouting that Jesus was king and he was Lord is not because of the first verse, but because of the second. They were looking for Jesus to come and free Jerusalem from the Roman rule. They didn't really care about the rest of it. They were looking at Jesus as a savior to free them from Roman rule. Notice that verse 10 still hasn't been fulfilled. Verse 9 is. Verse 9 was fulfilled on Palm Sunday. Verse 10, they're still waiting. It didn't happen. But that was our motivation. And the point I want you to take out of that is the crowd was motivated. They were shouting. Yes, it sounds glorious, but they were motivated by their own motives. And the excitement and the exaltation of the crowd, they were motivated by darkness, not by light. While this seems glorious, and it seemed like a big, wonderful thing, and it was to an extent, the difference, there wasn't much difference in the crowd on Monday as on Friday. There wasn't much difference in the spirit of the crowd. The spirit of the crowd was a very selfish me spirit. What is in it for me? And you say, well, why? If it was some of the same people, why? What changed? Well, what changed? And this, we understand this, brothers and sisters. What changed is on Monday, Jesus was riding in as a victor. On Friday, he was beaten, he was bruised, he was bloody, and he looked like a loser. And in our humanity, we're affected by that. This couldn't be the Lord. We're going to see it a little later here in the passage. But the Jesus they were looking for was going to come and free them from Roman rule. He would have did something with Pilate. He would have did something with Herod. He would have took over Jerusalem. That's the Jesus they were looking for. The Jesus they got was the one standing before him Friday morning on his way to the cross. He didn't look like much of a victor. Hence, they couldn't walk in the light. They're walking in darkness. Calvin, you already commented, just quickly before I move on, about, I was going to comment on that, but you did a good job of it. You don't take an unbroken colt and throw things on its back and put a person on and then throw stuff around under his feet. If you want disaster, you do things like that. The point is, we recognize that point. It makes us smile. But the point is, it had to be the creator of the colt. It isn't humanly possible. But the people in the crowd missed it. They missed it. We'll see that here as we progress on. I'm going to skip down to 16 because I talked about the colt and what was said. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him, when they called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause, the people also met him, for they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, perceive ye how you prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. The Pharisees were quite dismayed. The comment says it all. Behold, the world has gone after him. The crowds were ecstatic and wild, and they were full of adoration and lifted him up. I was going to read to you the verses that says about Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. You heard Lewis read them. I don't know when that happened, from the time he got the donkey till he got Jerusalem. It wasn't very far, I told you, Ray. So this was not a long journey. It probably took time because of the throng of people in the crowd. But you see the people in exaltation. And you know me by now that I like to take Bible stories and put us in it. So you're in this crowd of people with exaltation. You see the man that's being exalted, literally weeping and saying these words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He was talking about the city and the Jewish nation. He was, brothers and sisters. But if you're here this morning and you're walking in darkness, he was talking about you. Jesus literally weeps over anyone who walks in darkness. And remember, the people here thought they knew. They thought they were walking in light. But they weren't. Jesus said, if only, and I'm paraphrasing now, if only you would have known the time of your visitation. But now I leave your house desolate to you. And it's going to be torn down. And you're going to be destroyed. And you're going to be lost. And another place it would say, oh, how many times I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing. And what does the word say? But ye would not. But ye would not. My choice. I wouldn't come under the wing. So now we get down to verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast, and the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Again, the words speak for themselves. We would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus, and Jesus answered, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it for unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there he shall be also, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You know, the Jews rejected Jesus, the Greeks, at least two of them wanted to see him. And Jesus said that he was honored. And he goes on immediately to say about the corn of wheat falling in the ground and dying. We understand that. He was talking about his death bringing salvation to many. If he didn't die, we'd be lost. Just one point in that, which we all probably know, is Jesus' resurrection did not make man a never-dying soul. Man was a never-dying soul before Jesus' death and resurrection. What changed is that Jesus' resurrection brought life and light. What it did is it reset the clock back for those that believe in Christ to the relationship they could have with the Father before the fall in the garden. Did you ever wonder what that would have been like when God the Father would come into the garden at the end of every day and you would actually look forward to it and it'd be a great time? That's what Christ's resurrection did. It made it possible for us to look forward to that relationship with Him and the Father, and it would be a great time. It brought life, and it brought light. Immediately after those sayings, we get to verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour. Can we really see the humanity of Christ? The first half of the verse says, Jesus acknowledges my soul's troubled. I am really dreading, we would say it this way, I'm really dreading these days ahead. Lord, keep me from them. Make another way. And then immediately, the holy God side of Christ comes out and he says, but for this cause I came to this hour. And it touches me and blesses me. The Father's response. You know, the Father was looking on this. He sees the humanity of the Son. And immediately, he responds. He immediately responds and says, find my place here. Father, glorify thy name, or Jesus' words. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. I believe Christ found that encouraging in his human part. I'd just like to, again, go back to the humanity part of it. There's some of us, for sure, who have had things in their life that if they knew they would have to do them again, they would say the very same thing that Jesus did. Lord, save me from having that experience. As humans, there's things in our lives that we've never experienced and we don't know what's ahead of us. But Christ, being all-knowing, he knew exactly what the days ahead were going to hold. He knew exactly the beatings, the torment, the torture, the cross. And he was saying, no, I don't want to do that. I really can't imagine doing that. That was the human side of him. But the side that loves us, that was willing to die for us, said, but this is for the very cause I came. I had open heart surgery. This might make it a little more human. I had open heart surgery probably about 5 years ago. I don't know exactly. I didn't look it up. But I can tell you, brothers and sisters, if I live to be 70 years old and they tell me I need open heart surgery again, I already know what my answer is going to be. It's going to be no. I'll take the time that I have. And the reason I say that is because I really didn't care if I lived or died for a few days after open heart surgery. In fact, I would have been quite happy to die when I first woke up. And the The point I'm trying to make is that's what Christ was looking forward to. And his humanity said, no, I don't want to do this. But his love for me said, yes, I will. Father, glorify yourself. And he said, I've both glorified and will do it again. In all this, the people missed it. Some people said it thundered. There was a noise from heaven. An angel spoke. In all this, the people missed it. Jesus goes on to say of what happens after the resurrection. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world come. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He said this, signifying what death he should die. The people answered and said, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed and hid himself from them. Jesus was trying his best to get them to understand what was taking place and what would happen. And again, I go back to the point I made when I said about Zechariah. The people said, so the people were saying he was the Lord and the Christ. The crowd was saying it. But Jesus says about the Son of Man being lifted up, and immediately, what do they do? We see by Jesus' response that the people said, who is this Son of Man? Christ abides forever, and he's going to free us from Rome. They didn't say that, but that's what they were thinking. So immediately, well, then this mustn't be the Christ. We must be wrong. This isn't the Christ after all, because the Christ's going to abide forever. He's not going to die. They didn't get it. Jesus tried to help them understand and get it, but they didn't. They thought they knew what the Christ would look like, what he would do. They thought it would benefit them, and it would benefit them, but not in the way that they thought it would. You know, there's another way we can walk in darkness. And that is just like these people. And we would say things like, well, the voice from heaven said this, like it did there. Then we would believe. I don't think we would. I really don't think we would. That's an excuse. They didn't. They heard the voice from heaven and they didn't believe. And I think we need to be careful that we're walking in the light. We're walking in the word. We're believing the truth. Or we'll make the same mistake that they made. Jesus said it very well. Verse 35 and 36 say it as good as it can be said. Walk in the light while you have it. You have it for a short time. Walk in it. Lest if you don't, you'll walk in darkness and you won't be the children of the light. Verse 37 is a hard verse, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not. This is hard to say, but it's the truth. Profession is not belief. I'm going to say it again. profession is not belief. This crowd professed that Jesus was the Savior, the Lord, the Christ. Did they believe it? Verse 37 answers the question. They didn't. Jesus' words were, they didn't believe. They professed it. They celebrated it. They rejoiced in it. It looked great. Till we got to the Friday crowd, didn't look so great anymore. But profession is not belief. That was the problem with the crowd. What I believe, I will walk in. What I believe, I will do. Not necessarily what I always profess and say. That's human nature. All right, in closing, let's go back to the story I opened up with. If those people would have really believed in that king and what he was doing, if they would have really owned him as their king, that vat would have been full of wine, not water. But because they thought they could do it in secret, because they didn't think anyone would know, everyone assumed that everybody else would put wine in and I could put water in, and I'd keep the best for myself. And fulfill my selfish motives, and the king wouldn't know the difference because everybody else put wine in. One cup of water and 1,000 cups of wine. King won't know the difference. But see, what happened is what they really believed about their king is what their king got. Water is what they thought him worthy of because that's what they really believed. That he was only worthy of water. Because they could do it in secret, the only thing that really motivated them to do it was what they believed, not what they said. I have two questions for you in closing. When my king draws from my vat, what will he receive? When my king draws from my vat, when your king draws from yours, what will he receive? Will he receive my best, or will he receive water? And my final question is this. Am I walking in light, or am I walking in darkness? And how I answer that verbally won't prove the truth. How I answer it with my life and the things I do will prove what I believe. Does my belief and my profession and my walk of life, do they line up with each other? Or is it like the crowd here that we saw this morning, that they don't? That really I'm just a person of the crowd. You know, if the Jesus in my life is the Jesus that I feel when I sit under my message this morning, or a good church service, or good devotions at home, or anything else like that, if that's how I know my Jesus, then I'm probably walking in darkness. But if I know my Jesus as the one who walks with me every day, his own words were, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." And that doesn't mean only when we're in bad times. That means now, every minute of every day. If that's how I know my Jesus, then I'll be like Mary. And I'll treat him that way. And I'll show him that love and respect. And I'll honor him. But if I know my Jesus simply by the influence of what's around me and the crowd, then I'll probably walk in darkness and I won't be walking in light. I won't be like Mary. We focused a lot on the crowd. Mary's singular quiet incident speaks volumes. She took something that was extremely expensive and used it on someone that was invaluable. And she was willing to make a fool of herself, if you want to use that term, to honor him by then wiping his feet with her hair. What is my testimony? What is yours? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to again be in your house with brothers and sisters, your children. Father, thank you for meeting us here. Holy Spirit, thank you for bringing us again insight into the Word. Lord Jesus, as we pause at the beginning of Passion Week, thank you, Lord, for being willing to do it for me. Thank you for not turning and taking the easy way out, but choosing the way of suffering so that I could have a relationship with you, that we could be a church body, that we could be your sons and daughters, that we could be children of light. Lord Jesus, by your grace, your power, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, help us to walk as children of light, to shine as light, to drive away darkness, and to accomplish your purpose for your glory and your honor, the sake of your church and your kingdom. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.